Kevin Owens, thank you so much for taking the time. Huge fan of what you do. First thing, I know you guys are coming to Birmingham, Alabama next week, and I was hoping you might be able to tell me about your experience in the southern United States. Do you notice any difference with the fans or the atmosphere? What sticks out about the South for you?
I feel like every time we go more in the South, the crowds are actually a little more just a little wilder than maybe the you know, some towns on the East, in the East Coast, West Coast, like everywhere has got some, like, and in Midwest as well, like some towns you just know, okay, this town's got pretty rowdy fans, this town's got pretty good fans, this town's got pretty loud fans here and there. But it feels like that's kind of the truth for everywhere we go in the South, whether it's a big town, a small town, you know what I mean? So that's probably, I guess, effect that trickled down from, you know, the old territory days, and the crowds have always been known to be pretty loud and wild in the South, and you know, that holds true today, I'd say.
Yeah, and I've never been to Canada before, but I know that Canadians can be rabid sports fans too, and I'm just curious, are there any similarities to the South and what you just described in any parts of Canada?
I mean, I've wrestled in, you know, mostly the time I spent in Canada, I mostly wrestled in Montreal, where I'm from, or in Toronto, in that area. And I would say Toronto fans were always pretty rowdy, but Montreal, I mean, I've wrestled in front of great crowds in Montreal, and I've wrestled in front of absolutely terrible crowds where you're wrestling in front of 200 people, let's say, and you feel like there's, you know, 10 people in the crowd. But anytime we, you know, WWE comes to the Bell Center, that's a great crowd. So I guess it would depend, you know, it kind of depends on the show and where it was. But, you know, every time we're in Toronto with WWE, or we're in Montreal, especially at the Bell Center, the crowds are really lively and real loud, you know, much like the South. So I'd say it kind of depends where you go.
Well, and obviously from watching you, you can tell that you're a fan of wrestling just through your performance, and that you've obviously, you're a historian in terms of how you perform and how it might relate to the past great performers. From what I've read and heard, you're obsessed with it. You're obsessed with wrestling. You've just lived it and breathed it for so long. Do you feel like that's something that you need to succeed as a wrestler? Has an intimate knowledge of the history of the business helped you in your career?
I mean, I think it's helped me get to where I am now. And I would say I'm obsessed with it still, but I've worked really hard at not letting it be every, you know, every second of my life, because obviously now I have a wife and kids, and, you know, as much as they love wrestling themselves, they didn't make the decision to dedicate their entire lives to it. I did. So, you know, I try not to let it run every aspect of my life, but I would say it certainly helps to be, you know, a student of the industry, and having grown up watching it definitely helps, but I don't think it's necessarily something that absolutely has to happen in order to have success. I think there's lots of guys in WWE now that have had success that weren't necessarily wrestling fans growing up, or, you know, to be quite frank, aren't necessarily wrestling fans now in terms of watching other wrestling or watching wrestling from the past. You know, they obviously enjoy what they're doing and they love being WWE superstar, but I don't know that every superstar out there is as obsessed with what we do as I am, but there's very successful guys everywhere. So I think it really just comes down to the individual and how much heart they put into their work, because it doesn't matter, you know, if somebody spends, 16 hours a day or, you know, watching wrestling as opposed to somebody else who doesn't really watch it that much besides what the time they spend in the ring themselves. It all comes down to heart, really. You know, if your heart's in it, usually you'll succeed. So I think that's really the most important thing.
Yeah, and you mentioned your wife and kids, and you're a family man, and you're never shy about sharing how proud you are of your wife and kids. As a young father myself, I just spent a few days away from my family covering something for work, and it was really tough, and it was just a few days. So I can't imagine the challenges for wrestlers with families and the demanding road schedule. I'm sure that, like, FaceTime and texting and other technology helps, but how do you specifically and other wrestlers manage that?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly can't imagine doing this without the technology we have at our disposal today, like FaceTime and stuff like that, like you said, because, you know, back in the 80s, let's say, they would just, you know, cell phones weren't even available. So I remember talking about this with Curtis Axel, whose dad was obviously Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. He would say, you know, once, like, sometimes my dad would be gone for weeks at a time, and the only thing we know is in the middle of the night we'd get a phone call, and we know, like, my mom would answer, and we'd realize she's talking to dad, and we'd say, oh, okay, dad just got to the next town all right, you know, and it's 3 a.m, he just got in, you know, for the long drive and stuff like that. So, like, that was their way of keeping in touch, which is really wild, you know. That takes a real commitment to your business, obviously, to be able to leave your family behind. But, you know, pretty much everything we do is for the benefit of our families, and that was true back then as well. So I'm really glad FaceTime's around now, that's for sure. And you know, just cell phones, anytime I want to talk to them, I can talk to them. That's I don't know how I would do it without it. You know, I'm not the only one, obviously. Everybody that's got a family, you know, you'll walk around, you know, every single day you'll see Kofi Kingston on FaceTiming with his kids, and many others doing the same. And it's just, you know, that's just how we adapt. That's just how we adjust. And none of us would be able to. I could certainly speak for myself, but I'm sure I speak for several of the guys on the roster when I say that none of us could do it without the support of our families, and especially our wives, because, you know, without their support and love, I don't know any of us that could really dedicate themselves to this and be successful, you know?
Yeah, and also on the tech front, you really have a great voice on Twitter, but you've also expressed concerns about the nastier aspects of social media. Where do you stand today? Where do you stand right now as we're talking, in terms of how you manage your social media presence and how you engage with fans, both positive and negative?
I really don't go on Twitter as much as I used to. I've really reduced the time I spend on there, just because, you know, I feel like as you become more well known, more and more people have access to you, more and more people know who you are, and you know, there's a lot of people out there who are just miserable in their own lives, I guess, and just try to make other people miserable as well, to bring themselves up or to bring other people down to their level. And there's no shortage of that, that's for sure. So it's taken a toll on me in terms of just how much I enjoy social media. Like, that's a lot. I don't enjoy it anywhere as much, but I still see, you know, whenever I do go, I'll still get messages from people telling me how my work helps them in their life and the struggles they're going through, and or, you know, just somebody saying simply, like, I you know, I used to enjoy wrestling when I was this age, I didn't watch it for a little while, and now I came back and you're my favorite, or you guys are part of, like, you guys are some of my favorite wrestlers, or I really like this and that. Like, that always means the world to me, and you know, it will never stop. And there's something very special about meeting you know, fans that you can tell there's something really incredible about meeting people that, you know, you reach with your work, and that what you do, you know, every week, you know, because we do this every week, we get into a routine, I guess, and it kind of just becomes part of the job. As passionate as we may be, you know, we always pour our heart and soul into what we do, but it does become, you know, it's like any other job in a way. Once you do something long enough, you kind of get used to it. But sometimes we'll meet, you know, we're lucky enough to meet somebody that's really being touched by your work, and that always kind of puts things in perspective, and that's always really cool.
How important is winning the WWE Championship to you now that you've been the Universal Champion, which is a top title in the company? Why would it still mean a lot to win the WWE title?
I mean, you know, to me, the WWE Championship and the WWE Universal Championship are the same thing. They are the top championship on the respective brands. You know, if they were to unify any titles eventually down the line, if the brand split were, the brand extension were to end or whatever may happen, those titles would just be fused into the WWE Championship again, you know, or maybe the WWE Universal Championship. But the point is, they mean the same thing. So, of course, I want to be WWE Champion just for what it means, and that means you're the top superstar, you know. I don't think that you necessarily need to be the champion in order to be the top superstar. But it certainly helps, and it's, you know, it's an accolade that everybody wants. Who doesn't want to be WWE champion? So I was Universal Champion, and I'm very proud of that, and that's something that I'll always, you know, that's always going to be a highlight of my career. But of course, I want to be WWE champion, just like I want to be tag team champion eventually. And, you know, I was Intercontinental Champion. I'd love to be that again. the United States champion, like all the titles, it just means that your work is being recognized and you're seen as somebody who can represent the company with that title, you know, and that's always very gratifying.
Who is someone in WWE right now that you'd like to work with that you haven't?
I mean, there's a lot of those guys in NXT. Honestly, there's so many guys in NXT that I'd love to have matches with down the line. You know, anybody from Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, who I've known for a long time and I've gotten the chance to wrestle with on the independents. Johnny Gargano, same thing. Ciampa, all these guys. To guys that I've never wrestled because, you know, maybe they weren't even wrestlers when I was on the independents. Maybe they're guys that just started the Performance Center and, discovered this industry and are just starting out, but already, you know, doing pretty great for themselves. Like the Authors of Pain, for example, those are guys that were just plucked out of their element and thrown into the WWE world, and they've been doing pretty good for themselves. And I'm really impressed with their progress. There's so many guys like that at the Performance Center right now that I'd love to be in the ring with. Also, you know, I haven't really had the chance to do much with them at all. You know, we've had a few non-televised matches here and there where we were on opposing teams of like six-man tag team matches and stuff like that. But I'd love to get in there with Bobby Roode and get a lengthy program with him. That would be pretty fun, I think. And there's just so many. There's a lot of answers to that question.
Sure, sure. And what's the best match you've ever seen in person that you were not a part of?
I think, man, there's been a lot of great ones, but I guess it would have to be, I think Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 21 would probably take the cake. That was really something. I was there live. I started the show at the very top of the building, because that's the seat I had. And then when that match, I knew that match was next, I weaseled my way down to a better seat way down there and really enjoyed that match. It was just two of the best wrestlers of all time doing what they do best, and it was really incredible.
And this might be the same answer, I don't know, but what do you consider to be the best wrestling pay-per-view of all time?
Oh, man, that's a really tough call. I mean, I've seen so many, and there's been so many great ones. It's hard to just pick one. But I guess that's almost an impossible question to answer, honestly, because so many moments right now are flashing through my head of, you know, individual moments on certain pay-per-views. But as far from beginning to end, I really can't answer that question. I really don't know. I guess, something like WrestleMania 30 really sticks out in my mind because I'm remembering now all the moments. I was there live, but all the moments that so many moments that are flashing through my head took place at WrestleMania 30. So I guess that would be my answer just out of, right on the top of my head here.
Interesting. That's an interesting answer. So as someone who grew up watching wrestling in a time when podcasting didn't exist, what do you think of this era now where it's so popular and so rampant and so much of it, for lack of a better term, exposes the business and allows such an intimate look behind the curtain?
Yeah, I mean, it's a natural, not natural progression itself, but it's just progressed to this point, and it's evolved to this point, and it's probably part good, part bad, but it's just what we have to deal with. There's no working around it at this point, so this is just the way things are, and might as well accept it and make it work for yourself. You know, I'm sure there's positives and negatives to that aspect, but I don't really spend time thinking about negatives, just in this aspect or any aspects of my life. I try to focus on the good things. So
sure. And are there any that you listen to on a regular basis?
No, I really, I don't. I don't spend a lot, I used to listen to a lot of podcasts on planes and stuff like that, but now I just, I've become to the point where I'll fall asleep instantly on a plane. So I don't really listen to, anything, on a regular basis, but, there's so many out there that I've had the chance to take part in and I've enjoyed so much, like Jericho and Austin and all those guys. Obviously, I know there's a lot of really good content out there.
Okay, my last one for you here, Kevin. Can you sort of just explain, paint a picture of like what goes through your head when you find out that you're going to headbutt Vince McMahon?
No, I really can't, honestly. It's really, it's pretty indescribable, but it's something I'll remember forever. I'll guarantee that.
Awesome. Well, Kevin Owens, thank you so much again for the time. Congrats on another great year. Good luck this year, and we look forward to seeing you in Birmingham.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.